after what proceeds. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, this is a small class. I welcome everyone here today, everyone on the net. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. But before I begin my subject of dua, I want to say a couple of things. Learning the Quran, since we're here gathered to learn the Quran, is a noble branch of knowledge. Therefore, I want to say two things concerning it. While we're studying the noble branch of knowledge, the Quran, we have to arm ourselves with at least two things, and both of these things pertain to the branch of knowledge. Number one, while you're learning the Quran, you should arm yourself with knowledge of the virtues of learning the Quran. Number two, knowledge of what it takes to remain patient upon and steadfast on learning the Quran. And Brother Musa, alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, when we first started this class, went over some of its virtues, which is important. And Musa, alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, he gave me this task of dua, of continuing and talking about the preconditions of dua. And there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anyone for whom Allah intends good, he makes him to suffer through some affliction. So how does this pertain to seeking knowledge? How do they relate to one another? It is hard to sit for 2 hours, okay, learning and reciting the same terminologies. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, this is a jihad of the nafs, a jihad for the nafs. So if every one of us learn this concept of jihad on the nafs, then we become like the people before us, right? The Sahaba, Abu Bakr, Umar. How do you think these prominent people learn the whole Quran? Did they learn it just by listening to tapes? Did they learn it just by listening to the prayers every now and then? No, they sat down under the feet of the Prophet ﷺ and learned the book of Allah tabaraka ta'ala. So in relation to this, we have to train ourselves in order that we could obtain the knowledge of the Quran, the virtues of the Quran, learning the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah wills good for you, he puts them through what? Things that is displeasing to the soul. Even though it's displeasing to your knees, boy, they be cracking when you get up, right? But what has your heart obtained? What has your heart obtained? How high your iman has increased? And what happens to your record when you sit in the halaq of dhikr? So you see how important this jihad of the nafs is on sitting yourself down, learning the book of Allah. As you remember, we had went over the definition of dua with Brother Musa, and he gave us some benefits of dua, the virtues of dua. Hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, we can start here and we can go over some preconditions of the dua. Understanding the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you, and your quote, and your Lord says, call upon me and I'll respond to you. Indeed, those who disdain my worship will enter hell degraded and in humiliation. Surah Al-Ghaffar, verse 60. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to call upon him, to make dua to Allah azza wa jal. To make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a commandment of Allah. Those who refuse to make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say they will enter into the Jahannam debased and degraded. Right? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said dua is the essence of worship. What does this mean? What does this mean? This is some the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that dua huwa li'ibadah. Dua is the bone marrow or the essence of worship. Weak, okay. therefore we should look at the dua, we should look at the supplications. We should look at why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us through circumstances. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you through circumstances, He does not put you through these hardships and these problems just for no reason. He does not make you hungry just to see you suffer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take away your child or your daughter for you to undergo hardship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you through conditions so that you can supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if one of you supplicate while you are certain of a response, and know that Allah does not respond to a supplication from a heart that is heedless and inattentive. What is this saying? So when you make dua, and you have a mind frame that your dua will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is when your dua is most real. Your dua is certain to be accepted. So you make that dua, you have to make the dua with certainty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the dua. Like the boy and the king. You remember the boy and the king? Right? When the boy said, you cannot kill me without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you cannot kill me without saying in the name of Allah. How does this knowledge come to him? Because the boy had knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that only death comes from Allah. Only life comes from Allah. Only provision comes from Allah. So therefore, if you don't have certainty in your dua, how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your dua? When you say, Oh Allah, give me a big car. Why you make dua for a viper? Oh Allah, when you make me grow up, make me ride in a Porsche. Oh Allah, when you make me grow up, make me live in a mansion out on Chanel. So when you make dua, you have in mind that you don't make for anything. You make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something that will benefit you in this world and the hereafter, with the hereafter in mind. Right? Not just making dua for things that are only beneficial to you in this dunya, but making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will benefit you in the akhirah. In the akhirah. So when you position yourself to make dua, you have certainty in your heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it from you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his hadith is in Muslim, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if one of you supplicates, do not say, Oh Allah, forgive me if you will. But instead, you should ask with will and conviction, for there is nothing so great to Allah that He cannot grant it. So you ask dua, don't ask dua like you weak. Oh Allah, forgive me if you will. Oh Allah, please forgive me if you want to. No! You make dua, Oh Allah, forgive me, I have sinned. Oh Allah, grant me, I'm hungry. Oh Allah, give me a ride out back to my town because my car broke down. You be strong in it. But you remember the status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Al-Aziz. He's the mighty. And he is capable of doing all things. When you have this mind frame that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do all things, is capable of giving you anything, and nothing is more great that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give it. So this is your mind frame when you make dua. And a lot of times you'll fall in the trap of being ritualistic, right? Where you're just saying statements from your tongue and you're not paying attention to your dua. You know when you're in that session, subhanAllah, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. This is called dua, du'atul ibadah, right? It's two forms of dua, dua of supplication, dua of ibadah, of worship. And the dua of worship is the one that we're always, almost always, the one that is we're heedless of. Like, for example, this is dua of supplication. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Allahu Akbar. You have to think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the glorified above all things. Glory be to Allah the Most High. Glory be to Allah al-Azim, the Majestic. When your heart is filled with this Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, then your ibadah will become more effective. Your heart will be purified more and conditioned more to receive the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to carry out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to stay away from the prohibitions of Allah azza wa jal. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us the importance of dua. When you understand that dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you through circumstances and conditions for you to make dua to Him, for you to humble yourself to Him, for you to go run to Him for forgiveness, to run for Him for help and assistance, then you will understand why you're in this world. To worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Look at the stories of the Quran. Look how many people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put through hardship. Well, we say, okay, why does Allah put whom He loves into hardship? That doesn't make sense, right? You gotta understand this. Okay, why would God hurt me? You don't hurt people you love. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the people He loves into greater hardship. Why? So that they can make the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they can humble themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that their good deeds can accumulate more. So that the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can flow on them more. So that Allah azza wa jalla would teach them more. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate with them more with sabr, with tolerance. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about patience? Half of iman. Therefore, if Allah puts you through hardship or a certain circumstance for you to go through so that you can learn patience, isn't it worth it? Because the real wealth is not Benjamin Franklin and Abraham Lincoln. The real wealth is amal salihat, righteous deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you through circumstances in order for you to make dua. Yes. So, while supplicating, one should truly beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and implore His forgiveness. One should sincerely demonstrate his need for Allah and his submission to Him as well as hope in his receiving his desired response from Allah. While doing so, the mercy and forgiveness is close at hand. You see why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you through hardship? You see why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the conditions around you for you to make dua? So His mercy descend upon you, so that you become more sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you will understand the purpose of life, so that you won't grow arrogance in your heart. All of this khair is surrounded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala putting the people of iman, putting the believers through hardship. Does a man who thinks he's self-sufficient, how many times do you think he's more reliant on Allah than a man who has to, you know, every week or so he's breaking down, every week or so he had to stay up all night, he's not getting meals anytime he wants to, sometimes he has to wait all evening just to get his... Or do you think the one man who has meals coming to him three times a day and his clothes are pressed and he goes to the cleaning and he got this big daddy car, do you think he's more reliant on Allah than the one whom Allah puts through hardship? If you understand this, you understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is training the mu'mineen, is providing the mu'mineen by means of hardship and affliction. So, one thing before you make your dua, one thing left. You make sure that you're earning halal, you're feeding yourself halal, and you're clothing yourself in halal. Okay? So, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us about the man who makes dua to Allah, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say his clothes are halal, his clothes are haram, his food is haram, and his earnings are haram. How can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept his dua? So therefore we have to pay attention to this thing. Because we'll turn around and say, oh, I supplicated to Allah and he didn't answer me. You have to meet the conditions. This deen is about discipline and tolerance and learning and educating yourself. And educating yourself. If you do not have knowledge on how to make dua, then you should be blaming yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, translation of the meaning, if you don't know, ask those who know. We have to educate ourselves on how to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you telling me, Abu Maryam, that I even have to know how to make dua? What I am telling you is that you should educate yourself on what prevents your dua from being accepted. How about that? Because we want to live our life like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. These are the things that we should be educating ourselves instead of educating ourselves on with this sheikh is about this and this sheikh is about that and he's not reliable upon this and he's not reliable upon that. If you do not even know the conditions of your dua being accepted. You see, we have to focus on such things. Don't let these things pass your eye. These are very important if you take your purpose of life seriously. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakum Allahu khairan.